With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's Jonathan Peterlin.
The guy with the beautiful voice I was telling you about.
On Cleveland Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
And we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, joined by our Cavs Indians fantasy football reporter, James Rapine. James, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you, beautiful voice?
Oh, thank you. You like that one? I put that one in there because you're your own. The only person that'll prop you up in life is you, right? Like, we've accepted that. The internet is not going to tell me I have a beautiful voice, so I just need to put in clips that go ahead and tell me I have a beautiful voice to then make me feel better about myself, and then we move on.
Yeah, especially right before the segment. Like, it gives you the boost you need. Maybe not this segment because you're stuck talking to me, but other segments, it gives you that boost to be in make it an award-winning segment. I like it.
Yeah, I just think it's a fun clip more than anything else because so that clip is from Superbad, and I almost went back and rewatched it because I was hanging out in the Browns Reddit, and this person posted this the scene where they're hanging out in the store, and all of a sudden they're talking about the kid looks like Jesus with a six pack. He's got a voice of Fergie. All those lines, and they put that into Michael Cera's character trying to convince the other person. I don't remember his name. Who was the other guy in this? I'm blanking on it. Jonah Hill. Thank you. I knew you'd save me there. He's trying to convince him that the Browns season is going to be okay. And it was so fun, and it was so well put together. And it made my day. And then I thought to myself, is Superbad the best movie of our generation? And I use "our" being yours and mine, James, because it is one of those. It's a pivotal film for people our age.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it honestly was on. I forget where I was watching it a couple months ago, but it was on, and it holds up really well. A lot of the jokes still funny. Maybe it shows how immature I am, but some comedies don't. That one does. I'm with you. I think it. And Superbad also, it paved the way for a lot of those. So, The Hangover and comedies like that. I don't know if they get made without Superbad. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I think it's true.
No, I agree with you. All right, so let me tell you what my thought process was in the middle of the night. So I woke up in the middle of the night, and I got to sleep early last night, and I wrote something down in my notes section, and then I didn't remember that I wrote this down at all. And I woke up, and I looked at my notes section where, again, I keep my notes. And I had this written down, and I just want to see if it'll make you laugh more than anything else. And then we'll go into the Browns, okay?
All right, sounds good.
All right. Gardner Minshew is a young Jim Tom Sula on Weight Watchers.
Oh, come on.
Courtesy laugh, or was that a real laugh?
No, I mean, it's funny. That's an insult to Gardner Minshew.
But isn't that wild? That is what I had to that was what I was thinking about in the middle of the night. I got
that's
up
insane.
At some point. I thought, this is a genius idea. I need to keep this one so I can use it tomorrow. I wrote it down, fell asleep, had no recollection of doing that, and then woke up, and then bam, there it is. That is my, I could use this for the 10 o'clock hour, right? Gardner Minshew, a young Jim Tom Sula on Weight Watchers.
This is the second day in a row I've heard you say Jim Tom Sula's name. And that's
that's why it's sticking in my head is because, and this is a better comparison than that. I heard someone the other day call Freddie Kitchens Alabama Jim Tom Sula, which is one of the more, I mean, you want to talk about scorched earth, like that's a whoa take. That's a whoa take.
He's coaching like him right now. We'll see if he'll change that tomorrow.
So,
but yeah, through five games, I think that's kind of a fair statement.
Do you think if Baker Mayfield had kept his mustache, the Browns would be handing out 35,000 mustaches like they are for the Jaguars game tomorrow?
Potentially, or beards. They would just go full beard. I think you're right. I think the Browns at some point will do that because Baker's going to turn it around. But since he shaved, maybe that's how he lost his power, by the way. People have speculated with that. Maybe that's the case. Maybe he just needs to grow that facial hair back out.
Well, he had a Fu Manchu in high school.
Did he really? In high school?
Yeah, I talked to his.
Know,
so I was doing that series.
Baker facts that I have no idea about, and you're just really good at it. Go ahead.
Well, so I did that series over the summer that got rave reviews, and it was me talking with 5 minutes of someone in Baker's inner circle, right? And so every week, for 5 minutes, I would talk to somebody that was around Baker's inner circle, and I talked to the number three hitter on Baker's high school baseball team. Baker bat fourth. This guy batted third. He now plays minor league baseball. And he said Baker could hit. Baker was a good hitter. But Baker had a Fu Manchu, and he just was waiting for him to bring that back, and I haven't seen it yet.
That's funny. Yeah, I think that's the type of thing, like if they get on a run, 3, 4, 5 wins in a row, that's when all of a sudden you see him with a Fu Manchu, maybe some sunglasses on in the middle of an interview.
So break it down for me. What do you think about Baker year two? Because year two, historically, that's when people start getting things going. And that's when people, most quarterbacks at least, you know, Russell Wilson went to the Super Bowl in year two. Carson Wentz had a near MVP season in year two. Now others, you know, again, it ebbs and flows. Dak Prescott year two was his worst statistical year that he's had in the pros through 4 years. So Baker year two, is it just tough defenses, new offense with Freddie Kitchens, semi-new offense at least, have new pieces, new parts? Why is Baker struggling so much in your eyes?
Well, first off, I don't want to completely dismiss his struggles or take away the blame from Baker, because obviously we saw what he did last year. We saw what he did from the start against the Jets and how that continued, especially once you was let go and Freddie Kitchens took over. So obviously we know Baker's capable, right? And I thought they got it right when they picked him first overall long before I was even working at Cleveland. So I think he's going to be a really, really good quarterback. Unfortunately, we haven't seen that. And I think the biggest reason, and again, there are a bunch, the biggest reason isn't OBJ. It's not Baker didn't work in the offseason or he got married or, you know, all these silly national things. Simple. Freddie Kitchens is learning how to be a head coach, and he's failed through 5 weeks. I mean, that to me is it's extremely simple. His offense is nowhere near what it was last year. He's asking Baker to do things differently behind a worse offensive line against defenses, like you said, really good defenses, a tough schedule. And so we're seeing a Baker throw more interceptions without the touchdowns. We're seeing red zone struggles when they actually do get down there and close to the end zone. So I think it starts with Freddie Kitchens, and it's the play calling. I mean, OBJ should get 2 to 3 slants per game. Easily. It's not that he's over-targeting Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, how many times have we seen Odell Beckham Jr. get a target in the red zone? Twice. So I think it's funny when people say that, because it's almost like they're just saying it to say it, and there's no statistical anything. Baker's thrown it in double coverage a bunch, but I think part of that is these guys are running downfield, and he's under pressure, and he's forcing the ball not to OBJ, but forcing it out of his hand so he doesn't get hit again because he's getting hit so much. Because the offense isn't nearly what it was last year, which was that quick hit, quick strike offense, and then eventually we'll take a shot downfield. I think that's what they need to get back to. I think if they're going to win tomorrow, that's what they have to do. So if I have to blame one person, and again, Baker shares some blame, but it's Freddie Kitchens. It's his offense. It's the reason he was hired. He's got to find a way to make it work, and he hasn't for 5 weeks.
Do you look at Freddie differently than other first-year head coaches then? Because I tend to. You know, this was a different situation than, you know, I make up whatever quarterback you want, whatever head coach you want in a first year throughout this part of the season. I think Matt LaFleur, I think Freddie Kitchens are the only two that don't really get a pass. I'll give Brian Flores a pass in Miami. It's nothing he could really do. I'll give Bruce Arians to a degree somewhat of a pass being given Jameis Winston and you know the pieces he had around. I think he's doing better than we thought he would. But there are certain coaches I'll give a pass. Adam Gase right now, year one with the Jets, when Sam Darnold has mono like a 16-year-old high schooler. There are certain coaches. Do you give Freddie that pass? Do you look at him differently because we are in win-now mode?
Yeah, it's tough because you're right. His job comes with a lot of pressure, and most rookie head coaches aren't expected to win now. Or, you know, you're not expected in Arizona to win now. You're just supposed to grow Kyler Murray and get him to a point where he is competitive and hope that he has the same rookie season Baker had, you know? So the pressure is different. The expectations are different. But at the same time, I think this was always the plan. The John Dorsey didn't come here to slowly rebuild the Browns. He came here to win. And so I'm sure in those interviews that Freddie Kitchens had, he knew that was going to be the case in this offseason when they acquired Odell Beckham Jr. and Nick Chubb, and obviously didn't have Nick Chubb, and acquired Kareem Hunt and all these different weapons. that this offense was going to have to keep happy, that Freddie Kitchens knew, all right, we're going to have to change things. And he changed things for the worse so far. I think some of the downfield stuff, it makes sense. You need explosive plays. But, yeah, as far as him getting a pass, no. I think he knew what he was getting into. And now you can debate whether it's fair or not and whether John Dorsey should have even considered a rookie head coach for this type of job. But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here because the schedule does lighten up a bit, but they still got to win tomorrow. So, and I think they're capable of it. I think they have enough talent. It's really, does Freddie get out-coached, or is he close to what Pete Carroll is? And does he put Baker in a position to succeed, and does Baker take advantage of it? Because if the answer to those is yes, I think the Browns win tomorrow. I think they're extremely motivated. I think they were embarrassed on Monday Night Football, and they're going to find a way to get OBJ the ball. The fact that Jarvis Landry spoke out about it, not OBJ, Jarvis Landry, I think it says a lot. So, no, Freddie doesn't get a pass. He knew the situation. I'm also, even though I'm critical of him, I'll give him time to turn it around. I think he starts that tomorrow.
I love that you mentioned that it was Jarvis and not OBJ, because I've been talking about that all morning. Like, it wasn't OBJ that was doing this, but let's not mistake it either. Jarvis was doing that as a favor towards his best buddy, OBJ. Like, he was saying what OBJ can't say, because coming off last week where OBJ had all of two receptions, OBJ said, stats don't matter. I just want to win. I want to do something more than go to a wild card game as my only playoff experience. He then can't turn around a week later and say this offense, something's wrong with it. Something's broke with it. There's a fly in the soup. Let's fix this. He can't say that after what he said the previous week. So Jarvis Landry, his Woody to his Buzz Lightyear, stepped in and got the job done and was very vocal. And I thought that was huge because OBJ didn't have that in New York. When things went wrong with OBJ in New York, you know who he had? Younger guys like Sterling Shepard, not best buddies from college like Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, and I think that it's very much a, like, if you want to compare it to, you know, stars, D-Wade, LeBron dynamic. LeBron was obviously greater than D-Wade, but D-Wade was the guy who kind of kept LeBron, especially in that year one in Miami, calm, right? When he didn't, you know, and kind of helped him and showed him the way. And that's the thing. If I'm OBJ, I do want to lose my mind. It's insane to me, the lack of usage and how he's being used and the fact that it's suddenly hard to get him the ball. It should never be that way. Mm-hmm. So to me, he should be frustrated because he can help them win. They're averaging 14 points per game. Like, that's wild to me that the Browns offense is there, but that's what we're talking about right now. So I'm averaging 14 points per game, so if they don't find a way to get the ball in OBJ's hands in space, slants, et cetera, and then that'll open up the downfield stuff. They can't do that tomorrow against Seattle, especially the Seattle's defense isn't great. So if they can't do that at home against Seattle, then they're in big trouble. They really are. So hopefully they can figure it out. I think they will.
James, you have one quarterback to select to let's say the aliens come down, you are battling for planet Earth, you have one quarterback to select. How long does it take you in your list of comprising which quarterbacks you want to select? Does it take you to land on Russell Wilson?
Oh, it's probably in some order, Brady, Mahomes, Wilson, you know,
bait to the universe Brady. On the line. You're going with Tom Brady.
Probably, because I'll give you six reasons why, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, is
I'm not saying it's a wrong pick. Interpretation.
It's just still, and I get it, he struggled a little bit, and he doesn't look like himself on 3 days rest.
But you're taking Russell Wilson, then. You're taking Wilson over Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, then, in this scenario. That's what you just laid out.
No doubt.
I agree with you,
Wilson is, he's a freak. You know, he's such an athletic freak. And you talk about those leadership skills. He gets pummeled, and then he'll get up, and he'll be a good leader. You know, it's not like he's played in front of a great offensive line for years and years and years. It's really the opposite of what they gave him in year one and year two of his career, which is a great line, great running game with Marshawn Lynch. We'll pass it when we need to, but the defense is going to keep you in it. You're not going to have to go score 40. Well, now Wilson has to score 40 some weeks, and he's capable of doing that. And you wonder if maybe the Browns adjust their style to what the Seahawks used to be. But no, I'll take Wilson. He's certainly a top five quarterback and probably top three for me.
James, great stuff. Enjoy your Saturday, man. And I'll catch you before the tailgate tomorrow. James on at 7 o'clock. I'm on at 8 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, man.
Sounds good. Thanks, JP.
Here's James Rapine. on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Good stuff out of him.